The Mysterious Circumstances podcast is hosted by Justin Rimmel. This is an American Crimecast production. Visit us at our new home at accproductions.org.
All right, everybody. A couple months ago, I asked all my listeners to submit ghost stories for this episode, whether it be by audio or you sending me an email or typing it out and then sending it to me that way, in which case I will be reading them. The first few stories were submitted by audio, and those are Brandy, Aaron, and Major. I appreciate everybody who took part in this, and I can tell you right now there are some pretty freaky stories. So I hope you all enjoy. I know I enjoyed reading all of them and presenting them to you. And since I am reading them in like a story script form, this will be pretty awesome for me. It's a different, you know, for those of you who listen to American Crime Cast, I am scripted on there every now and then when I do episodes on there. So you will get that pleasure listening to this as well, and I will be putting on my creepy murder voice as well, just to make it that much better. So I hope you all enjoy. Thank you. This story was submitted by Brandy.
It was May 20th, 2003. I laid there asleep. In the middle of the night, maybe early morning, I'm not really sure, but I laid there in a deep, deep sleep. But all of a sudden, I was awoken by that feeling that someone was watching you. I'm not sure what exactly came over me, but I knew there was a presence. I don't know how to explain it. I laid there, and I allowed my eyes to kind of scan the room, look around. It was dark, so I couldn't see anything. The only illumination that came into the room was from the hallway light. So I looked around, and then I looked at the doorway. In the doorway, I saw a being standing there. At first, I couldn't identify what it was, who it was, but it was a person, a tall person. Almost took up the whole doorframe. As I was able to kind of clear my vision, still in a panic, my heart's racing, feel this tremendous heat, yet at the same time, almost cold sweats. It was very strange. I look at this being that's in this doorway, and I gather that it's a woman. And she's kind of like an old school nurse. So she's got the beehive hair. It's white hair. She's got on a nurse's hat. She has on a nurse's uniform, including the apron that kind of goes over the dress. That has like the red cross in the chest area. She has on white, opaque pantyhose. She has on those really thick, white-looking clogs. And she begins to come towards me. Now, this is all very quick, so she begins to come towards me, and I'm scared. I'm paralyzed. I feel like if I lay there stiff enough, she'll just go away. And she's not necessarily walking. She's kind of gravitating towards me. And for some reason, I had this fear that she would go past my head. I didn't want her going past my head. She's walking almost alongside my bed. She's at the foot area, and she's gravitating, and she's going past the leg area. And about mid-body, I've reached out my arm to my left, and I grabbed her arm as hard as I possibly could because I was absolutely terrified, and I have no idea why I thought grabbing her arm would be a good idea. But I grabbed her arm as hard as I could. The skin was soft and cold, and I latched onto her, and I grasped down on her arm, and I yelled out, "Grandma!" I didn't think that she was my grandmother. It was almost as if I was asking my grandmother's help. I have no idea what she is, who she is. It's not anybody from my past, not anybody that I recognize. I don't necessarily recall even letting her go, but I know that she disappeared. So I put my hand back down at my side, absolutely terrified about what just happened. Is she coming back? What was that? What is happening? I just am at a loss. And I lay there as still as I possibly can. My husband is still sleeping to my right, but I am paralyzed by fear. And I lay there, eyes wide open, not sure what's going on. About an hour later, I got a phone call from my mother. My grandmother had been battling brain cancer for about a year at this point, and we knew that she was in her last days. So we were expecting a phone call at any given time that she had passed. And when I lifted the phone and I talked to my mother, she informed me that my grandmother had passed about an hour earlier. And that's my story.
These next two stories were submitted by Aaron.
This isn't really a ghost story, but more of just something frightening that happened to me not too long ago. My son used to suffer with growing pains, and it was pretty common. And so this one morning, he woke up at about 4 o'clock, and I heard him stirring. And so before he began screaming, I figured I would creep in there and, you know, calm his nerves. So I turn the hall light on, and I go to open his door, and when I do, he's sitting straight up in bed with the creepiest smile on his face. And I go, "Hi, buddy, you okay?" And he replies, "Hi, Mommy, I love you." And that's, the scariest moment I have ever had parenting, and it really taught me to put my game face on. Hope you enjoyed. So this story was handed down through my family on my mom's side. Her great uncle, back when he was a boy, mom was real sick, and so they called the doctor over, and dad sent the boys up to bed to go to sleep. So they do as they're told, but you know they're worried about mom, so they're sitting up in bed, and they start to hear footsteps coming up, and so they do the normal, typical hide-under-the-sheets kid-type thing. While they're hiding, my uncle feels the pressure of someone sitting on his bed, and he peeks out and he sees his mom, and his mom's looking fantastic. And she gave him this loving smile and told him back to bed and got up and walked out the window. The next morning when he woke up, he found out that his mom passed the night before. And that was the first ghost story my mom ever told me. Thanks for listening.
These next two stories were submitted by Major.
Me and a couple of friends of mine were coming back from, I'm from around Memphis, Tennessee, and we have a big thing called Barbecue Fest every year, part of Memphis in May. It's, the International Barbecue Cooking Championship, and you come down there, and you hopefully have a friend that has a tent, and you go and, party or whatever. This is, back in the day or whatever. So a buddy of mine had this house in, East Memphis, and this one had always had a reputation for being haunted. Like, he had always talked about the ghost, and his family members had seen the ghost, and yada, 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 yada. And it was kind of the party house in high school. The doors would never lock. Kids were always coming and going. So, there's always, it seemed like there's always people there, And I never paid too much attention to that, man. I really didn't. To me, it was whatever. I never had a vibe about that place or whatever. And it wasn't particularly spooky old, haunted house or whatever. It was just kind of a typical ranch style house that had been renovated a little bit. It had a half upstairs. It was kind of a split level deal. But anyway, the stories about the ghost was allegedly before they bought the house. And this is the age old trope, right? A guy killed himself in there, every good, scary ghost story starts with this just about. And in this case, and I never researched it or anything, but that was the story. The guy had killed himself there. He had some mental issues, and, he took his own life with it. So, this had been in the background for a long time. And you know, one night, I think we're in college. Yeah, we're still in college. And we all come back from Barbecue Fest. And I walk down this hallway, use the bathroom. And I'm sitting there using the bathroom, man. And all of a sudden I hear this. And it's just like a knock. And it seemed distant enough where it sounded like somebody's walking on their house. You ever hear that? You know, where somebody's like hammering a fence or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, man, will they just stop? And sitting there, I'm like, dude, it's like late for somebody to be working on the house. And then this noise gets like more centralized where it's like right over my head. And it's just like pounding over my head. So I'm like, all right, dude, somebody's like upstairs in the attic is right above me, right? And so where this ghost has been seen in the house, it's been on the stairs and in the bedroom next to this attic. You know, from all the members of the family, this is where this name, this apparition, has appeared. So anyway, I rapidly conclude my business. And I come, kind of like really like fast walking out of the bathroom, you know? And I see my buddy walking around the wall to the kitchen. And you know what's funny? Follow somebody, that walk where you're like following somebody around, you know, you're right behind somebody. And he kind of had his hands out like he's in the middle of a conversation. And he's walking around this partition that splits the living room from the kitchen. And he's calling my name. He's saying, hey, 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 where are you going? Where are you going? And I come walking up to him. And I'm like, dude, are you talking to me? And his brother had the same name I did. So I was like, dude, are you talking to me, your brother? And as soon as he heard me talk, coming out of my mouth, like things got like ice cold, man. The temperature dropped. His eyes got big as saucers. And he's like, dude, he's like, I just saw the ghost. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, I thought that was you leaving. And I followed it around the corner and it disappeared through that door. And I'm like, I didn't see it. And I'm like, come on, man. And I mean, all of a sudden, dude, my just hair started standing up all over my arms and everything. So I'm sitting there, and that's bad enough, right? And I'm like, whoa, man, that is just, that's crazy. And there's another guy there with us, and he's sitting on the couch. All of a sudden, the TV just starts turning on and off, like a metronome, on, off, on, off, on, off. And I'm like, Joel, man. I'm like, dude, don't mess with us right now, dude. This is seriously freaky, you know? And I was like, where you got the controller? He's like, dude, I do not have the controller. He stood up, you know, and he opened his hands, and the TV just kept turning on and off, on and off, on and off. We found the controller. We looked at it. He handed it to me. The TV just kept turning on and off, on and off, on and off. And I was like, dude, brother, I'm out of here. And he was all like, and this is crazy. He's like, no, man, I got to stay here and I got to face this. I was like, no, you don't, man. This is stupid. Just come spend the night at my place, bro. It's, you know, you don't have to face anything, man. There's no winning this. Freaky, you know? And so he spent the night, his mom was out of town or whatever. He spent the night in her room. And then, the next day, like, he was like, nothing happened. You know, it's like, I just went to bed. And what's kind of interesting about this is I know, like, you know, formerly really being into ghost stories and stuff, there's certain rules people make up with ghosts where you have an intelligent apparition, right?
Yeah.
They interact with you. Then you have, like, a repeating apparition that's just kind of like on a relay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like a residual.
Or a residual. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. And this house had been added onto a lot. So the places where this ghost had been seen before, the stairway, the upstairs room, were all old parts of the house. So the place where my friend spent the night was in a new addition, a master suite, and nothing happened to him. And where the ghost actually disappeared, it disappeared into a built-on garage. So if you kind of believe those theories, it seemed like wherever it would kind of like run out of the original house is where it would kind of like disappear, you know, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, it turns out like his whole family had seen this thing, and none of them had told each other. You know, like everybody was keeping it a secret because they didn't want to freak out the other members of the family. And his mom was like, yeah, I was just sitting on the couch one night watching TV. And he just came walking down the stairs. just this guy, you know? And then he just disappeared when he rounded the corner like he'd done that night. And the freakiest one was his brother. That was his room that was upstairs. And he's like, man, I heard this noise. And I woke up and he was just standing over the bed looking at me. And I was like, there's no way I can handle that, man. I got out of there, dude. And, you know, not a couple months later, we're going to go out or whatever. And he's like, hey, just meet me at the house. And I said, okay, man, you know, if he's going to be there, everything will be cool, whatever. At least we're there together. And when I got there, he wasn't there. And I'm like, man, hey, where are you at? You're not home. He's like, oh, just go ahead and go in, man. The door's unlocked. I'm not there. I'm like, oh, gosh, dude. I'm like sitting there wrestling with this decision. I'm like, I really don't want to go in there. And so I went in, man. I went inside the house. I sat down on the couch and turned on the TV. It had turned on and off a few months ago. And I put on like Madden or something to try to kill the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just sitting there trying to play this game, man. And I kid you not, I felt like somebody was maybe like a centimeter behind my head, just staring me down the whole time. You know that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah.
You just
feel
like somebody's looking right through you. I just put the controller down, I took a deep breath, I turned around, nothing was there. And I went outside and I sat in my truck, dude, waiting for him to get there. I don't think I've been back to that house since.
That's pretty good shit, man. That's pretty good shit.
All right, so look, man, like I was probably in like 7th or 8th grade. I know I couldn't drive yet. I remember this much. I remember the event very, very vividly, but like the other factors around it, you know, it's like whatever. But I know I couldn't drive. Me and my buddy were spending the night at his house. And, you know, nothing weird that night, no drugs, no alcohol, nothing crazy. I know people will come up and ask that later. It's like, oh, they were on something or they were drunk or whatever. Man, we were just kids, dude. We were like 7th or 8th grade. We were doing anything, dude. Anyway, we go to sleep that night, man. And I guess I have to give you the layout of how this room is, you know. So we walk down a hall. Okay, and at the end of the hall, I think there's like a closet, like a linen closet, you know, that would face you at the dead end of the hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you hang a left, you go into my buddy's room. Okay, so you're going in the room, you walk in the room, and to the left, there's a wall. And dead ahead are some windows, okay, with the blinds, like, completely shut. And to your right is a twin bed, okay, and then there's a gap, and then there's no twin bed, and then the wall.
Okay.
You got that kind of like in your mind of how it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're walking in the room, you know, we kill it, we get a night, we go to sleep, I take the bed furthest in the room. So if you're walking in, there's a bed to your right, he goes to sleep in that one, there's the gap, and I go to sleep in the other twin bed. All right, so I got like a, you know, 90 degree angle on me, and, the gap and then his bed and the door to the room and another wall, you know, opposite the bed. So anyway, we go to sleep and, for real, man, I wake up and, you know, when you wake up, man, things start kind of coming into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I see like this very faint, like green ball of light. And almost like a mist, but definitely a very kind of has a density to it. And it's not completely solid, but there's a density to it. And so those blinds that are shut, which would be like at my feet and over to the left. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm thinking I'm looking at these blinds, and there's a pool out in the back. And we're on the second story.
Okay.
So the pool's down in the first story, obviously, in the backyard. And I'm like, well, it's got to be, like, lights in the pool. And all of a sudden, man, this thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger and doesn't really ever take a shape except, like, just this orb, right? All of a sudden, man, I just get this feeling of dread, just like, this is horrible. This is a bad, bad, bad situation. Instead of freaking out, I'm like, I'm having a nightmare, right? I'm telling myself this. I'm consciously walking myself through this. So I literally, you know, you see this in movies, you read about it, but I literally pinch myself, dude. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really am awake. Shut my eyes. And then I open them again. and the thing is still there. It's like getting ever closer to me. And I mean, my sense of dread is just hitting the roof right now. I'm like, what is going on, man? And the weirdest thing about it is, like, there's nothing else around it. It's just complete darkness. There's no edges to the wall. My eyes can't adjust to the darkness. That was just the unsettling thing about it. I reach for the lamp, right? All right, there's a lamp in between the two beds on a stand in this gap in between the twin beds. I'll reach for the lamp, you know. It should be my left arm. I can't find the lamp. So I'm like, all right, it's on the other side. I'm just discombobulated or whatever. Reach out to the other side. I can't find the lamp. And this is when things, like, get super freaky there. I kid you not. I put my arm down to find the floor, and I cannot find the floor. I cannot find the floor, dude. I cannot find the wall. I cannot find the lamp. I can't find the floor. And so I start screaming, dude. Yeah. I start screaming. And next thing I know, light. The light comes on. The room comes into focus. I'm completely turned around in my bed. My head is where my feet were. My feet are at the top of the bed. And where I thought I was staring at the window is nothing but a wall, dude.
Fuck.
I'm not kidding you. I told my friend, I was like, I'm calling my mom, dude. And I'm 36 years old, man. I must have been like 14 or 15 when this happened. And I was like, I'm leaving, dude. And so I made my mom come get me. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And she came to pick me up from that place. And, you know, that was the one and only experience I ever had there. I don't know what to chalk it up to. You know, I know the mind is a powerful thing. But, I got no explanation for it, dude.
Dude.
I don't know how you'd classify that as a ghost story or what, but I mean, one of the most terrifying things I've ever been through, for sure.
Okay, first story was submitted by Robert. He submitted 2 stories, so enjoy. Thank you, Robert, for submitting. Around the time I was 16 years old, my dad got transferred to New York for 6 months and left my mom, me, and my little brother back in Wisconsin. We lived in a 2-story house. My bedroom was directly below my parents' bedroom, which can sometimes suck if you get my drift. And downstairs, at the opposite side of the house, was a TV room. So one night around 4 a.m., I am sleeping, and I am woken up by the TV downstairs blaring MTV at the topmost volume. I jumped out of bed and went to investigate. Since strange things had occurred previously in our house, I was somewhat cautious as I approached. I grabbed the remote and turned off the TV. Now, this is around 1980, and remotes were pretty simple. I could understand that maybe the dog stepped on it and turned it on, but there is no way for the volume to be turned all the way up. After seeing nothing else strange, I headed back to bed. As I passed the stairs, I had a thought to go check my mom for some strange reason. I went upstairs quietly and opened her bedroom door. All was quiet, and I assumed she was asleep and started to close my door when I hear a scared voice say, "Bobby?" "Yeah, Mom. Thought you were asleep." "Didn't you hear me yelling for you?" "What? When?" "A few minutes ago. Something was jiggling my door handle. I was scared and started to yell for you." So I explained what had happened downstairs and why I hadn't heard her. She blamed it on a squirrel getting down our chimney and playing on our doorknob. Sure, right. I went out to the kitchen because I couldn't sleep after that. It was now 5 a.m. I turned on the TV and watched the first show of the day that came on at that time. The Lone Ranger. I made some breakfast and started thinking. Whatever this thing was, it had used the TV as a diversion to get me out of my room so I wouldn't hear my mom yelling for me. How fucked up is that? That made me mad, so I spoke out loud to this thing. "I don't give a shit what you do to me, but you'd better not ever touch my mother." All the power then went out in the house. It was pitch black. 5 seconds later, it popped on as if to say, I do what I want. It sent shivers down my back. I'll never forget that morning. God damn, Robert, that was a good story, dude. I got chills reading that. Alright, and here is his next one. It was 1977. I was 14 years old and just a bit too adventurous for my own good. My friends, Steve, George, and the twins, David and Dean, loved to investigate everything. We lived in Milwaukee, so there was a lot to see. From crawling for miles in the sewers beneath the city, to sneaking over the airport fence and touching the Goodyear blimp, we had done it all. That was what we thought, anyway. We decided to walk to the mall, which was a pretty big undertaking because it was 10 miles away from our homes. Maybe even more, I don't know. I was just a kid. So anyway, we started walking. About halfway to the mall, we see one of these granite quarries. If you live in a big city, you have probably seen one. They have one of those big towers with a down-sloping conveyor belt that loads the rocks on and off to the side where there was the inevitable cheap-ass trailer where the boss worked, I guess. Seeing that it was deserted, we decided to check it out. We had to, you know, just because. We go to the tower and climb up there and are immediately attacked by a swarm of mutated rabies-encrusted bats. Okay, I think it might have just been a bird or something, but either way it spooked us, so we climbed down and decided to check out the trailer because it was lowered to the ground. The trailer was open. We couldn't believe our luck. We climbed in and it was just your basic old trailer. Probably a two-bedroom one converted to be used as an office, except that it was devoid of any furnishings of any kind. That made us think this place was abandoned and not being used anymore. It was just your normal trailer, except for a large 4x4 gaping hole dug out of the middle of the trailer with a ladder sticking out of it. We peered over the edge and saw that it was a hole dug into the earth under the trailer that appeared to be empty. But it was so dark down there that it was hard to tell. All you could see were the dirt walls going down, and you could just make out the dirt floor where the ladder was sitting on. The damn ladder was tempting, though, but the dark was not. Steve decided he was going to be brave and go down there. Now, personally, I tend to not want to enter anything that looks like a basement from the Blair Witch. Yes, I know. The Blair Witch didn't exist in 1977. I'm telling Hugh's story for fuck's sake. Cut me some slack. So Steve reaches out and touches the ladder. As he does, we hear, "More." I swear that's what it sounded like, "more." But very drawn out and very deep sounding. It neither sounded human or machine. We ran. We ran until we finally stopped at the Kmart 2 blocks away, panting and shivering. We just looked at each other like, "What the fuck was that?" Steve said, "We gotta go back." I looked at him with an expression of horror and disbelief. "What? Are you fucking crazy, man?" Steve just said it again. "We got to go back." Steve was not the brightest bulb on the planet, and would die 10 years later when he lit a match to smoke a cigarette at a propane company he worked at. Oh, okay. I'm lying about that. But I still thought he was stupid. So we all went back. Yep. Stupid is as stupid does. So my old pal Forrest led us back to the trailer of terror. We slowly approached it, and nothing had changed. Steve went first, followed by the twins, then me, and then George. Well, I never even made it to the door before Steve and the twins pushed their way out screaming, "Run!" They screamed in unison, so we ran, all the way back to Kmart. Steve and the twins explained that as they entered, the first thing they noticed was the ladder was gone. And not only that, but the bathroom at the far end of the trailer had had its door ripped off the hinges and was now lying near the hole in the floor. We never went back, and 2 weeks later, the whole space had been bulldozed and covered over in gravel. And a month later, I got laid by the hottest chick in school, twice. Well, most of that is true anyway. Two stories for you, bro. Read both, read either. Edit how you see fit. Happy Halloween. Robert, you never fucking cease to amaze me, and thank you so much for submitting those stories. Those were really, really good. And I kept in most of the shit that you had typed in between the lines, so I hope everybody enjoyed. Thank you again, Robert. This next story was submitted by Katie. Katie is definitely one of my favorite listeners. She is super awesome, and we definitely have the same interests in podcasts. So thank you very much, Katie, for submitting this. I greatly appreciate it, and it is a very good story. When I was little, I lived in an 1800s era house in Scotts, Michigan. Scotts was and still is very small and secluded. No stoplights. Everyone knows everyone. And there are a lot of farms. It reminds me of the town from the movie Children of the Corn, with the exception of the murderous kids. I was around the age of 4 when I started getting nightly visits from what I referred to as the shadows. My room was on the second story, and my bed faced the staircase and banister. Every night I would wake up and see dark silhouettes of faceless, shadowy people bounce gracefully up the stairs, walk to the foot of my bed, and disappear to do it all over again, just like a broken record. They literally looked like a human shadow. The sound of television snow was always to be heard during these times as well. This terrified me, and I would scream for my mom. Since this became a reoccurring problem, my parents grew concerned and started trying everything to stop shadows from appearing. They cut a tree down outside of my bedroom, thinking shadows were being made from the streetlight shining through the branches. It didn't help. They also tried moving my bed, but it just so happens that they moved it closer to the top of the staircase. In their minds, they were probably thinking this was a better angle or something, but all it did was stir the pot. I woke up to one of these things sitting on my bed. After that, my parents moved me into my brother's room, but that didn't help. I could still see the top of the staircase from there because his room connected to mine through a doorway. Now the shadows were coming into his room to disappear at the foot of my bed. One night I had to go to the bathroom, and I asked my brother to take me downstairs. He said, "You can do it. They're not real. They're just like a movie." So, whatever. I usually waited it out until morning. Except one night, I really needed to go. I told myself it wasn't real, and it was just like a movie. And I tried going downstairs on my own. Who should I see on my brave mission? A shadow person. I didn't even make it out of the bedroom before it pushed me down and started violently tickling my feet. It made a really crazy sound that I can't explain, but it was most definitely laughing. And that was the last time I ever saw them. I grew up asking my parents about all this on occasion, but they never liked to talk about it. When I got the internet as an adult, I started reading about other people's experiences and found out that they are called shadow people. I can't tell you what they are, or if they are good or bad. I can tell you that I felt they were alive. They have a presence like an actual person. And that's my story. I have mentioned before that I've seen interdimensional beings. I don't know if shadow people are from the same place, what their agenda was, or if the two things are even related. Katie, thank you so much for that submission. That was super fucking spooky. I definitely got some chills right now. That was a really good story, and thank you for taking the time to submit that. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you again. This next story was submitted by Carol, the host of Cold Case Notes from the Goober State Queen, one of my favorite true crime podcasts out there. She has gave us a really good story today. So, Carol, I'd like to thank you ahead of time for submitting. It is greatly appreciated. Let me put on my murder voice here. So before I start this story, I need to give you a little background on this house. Years ago, I volunteered for the Ferry Plantation in Virginia Beach. The ground was used by Native Americans at one point who actually cleared the original plot. We would still randomly find their remnants of things until the day I left. After they were removed from the area, a courthouse was built on the plot and is actually part of the home that remains today. A very small part, as much of it was destroyed in a fire centuries ago. Most of the home you see today was actually built in the 1830s. It was built in sections and expanded over time. The attic was where some of the slaves were kept. It is over what would have been the courthouse, which also served as sort of a kitchen prep area. Next to that was the dining room, and then just past that was a foyer, and past that is the parlor. The bedrooms are just over the parlor. They are actually three stories, and then over that was a nanny room. This served as my office, and it was attached to a children's play area. Later, there was a cellar discovered. The cellar actually had a tunnel that extended to the ferry. Yes, that is where the name came from. After some excavations in the tunnel, it was proposed the tunnel was used to smuggle goods from the waterway. Now on with my story. There were many times I was left alone in the home to work on the ancestry of the family that owned the plantation and do research of various sorts. Occasionally, I would have someone come by asking for a tour of the house. But for the most part, people didn't come by often, as it is in a hidden corner of Virginia Beach. If they did show up there, it was obvious as the door would give a distinctive squeal. It was an old house, and there were many creaks and sounds of the house. I got used to this, and it became comforting in a way that only old houses can be. For the most part, as I said, I stuck to this side of the house. I avoided the old side of the house where the slaves were kept. I always felt sick on that side of the house, and if I had to go to the attic, it was particularly unnerving to look at the nails in the attic wall that were clearly hundreds of years old. The way they were arranged is nerve-wracking because it looks like there are portions of what may have been chains still attached. The other part of the house that I avoided was the parlor. I can't explain why, but I always had an uneasy feeling in there. I literally wouldn't stay in there if I was by myself. Only if I was conducting a tour of the home or if I was cleaning. On this particular day, I had the house to myself. No one was around. And as I had said previously, I was comfortable with the normal day-to-day noises of the home. On this day, I kept hearing voices downstairs, and I had thought maybe someone had managed to get in the house without making the noise the door normally makes. I went down the stairs and no one was there. I searched the whole house and there was no one. This repeated a couple of times. The next week I decided to bring in a digital recorder and I left it running in the parlor. It was a quiet day and I didn't hear the voices again. I was alone for a couple of hours and nothing was going on. The head of the house was outside on the other side of the property working in the garden area. No one was in the house but myself, and I was quietly working on putting membership information in the computer. That afternoon I started listening to the recorder. About a half an hour in, you can hear guttural laughing, like a deep man voice. And then you hear steps approaching the recorder, and a man speak directly into the microphone, saying, "Get out now." I never went back to that house again. Unfortunately, the recording was lost, as the laptop it was downloaded on fried, and then was lost in Hurricane Matthew when my home was flooded last year. Many people heard that recording. Alright, Carol, thank you for that submission. I have fucking chills. That was a very, very cool story. I wish you had that recording. I would love to fucking hear that. But thank you, Carol, again for submitting. It is greatly appreciated, and that was a great story. This one was submitted by Christina. Christina, thank you very much for submitting. And I'll go ahead and say this now. This was in the point of view of a woman, and she talks about her husband, so just so you guys know, that's what's going on here. A few of us in my family are sensitive to the other side. We tend to know that there's a death in the family a few minutes before we are notified. I personally get things thrown at me, no way of explaining how or who threw to get my attention. I knew my aunt died 5 minutes before my phone even rang. I had a statue thrown off of a high shelf in my garage, just missing my head. So back in 1997, my husband had moved in with me and my parents. I was 17 and had just had a baby. I told him about the house being active with paranormal activity. And of course, as a non-believer, he thought I was crazy. About 3 weeks later, we were walking through the kitchen, and we heard a woman's voice call out his name. My folks were sitting at the table, and he asked if they called him. My folks hadn't called his name, nor did they hear it. I was right behind him and told him that he needed to start calling family, and that I heard the woman's voice too. Again, he blew me off. I was at work later that night alone at a gas station, and saw a man standing on the other side of the window that separated the garage from the store. I saw right through him, and it spooked me because the store had been locked up, and I was the only one there to close down the shop for the night. My dad pulled up to pick me up. I was confused as to why my husband hadn't, and asked my dad where he was. My dad told me that my husband had just gotten a call from Georgia, that he had just had a loss in the family and had been found that morning, around the same time that we heard his name called in the kitchen. That voice was his aunt's voice, letting him know that she was okay. That's a hell of a fucking story right there, Christina. Thank you so much for submitting that. This one was submitted by Amanda. Thank you very much, Amanda, for taking the time to submit. This is the Carr Education Fine Arts Music Building, Angelo State University, in San Angelo, Texas. On a Friday night, me and my friend Kara went out to look for her friend Dustin. He was a band major, and we thought he was probably practicing in one of the band hall practice rooms. This was before cell phones were a huge thing. It was probably about 10 p.m. when we rolled up to the well-lit parking lot. I noticed one or two cars at the back of the 40-plus parking spots were empty. Who would be at the university on a Friday night? The building was dark inside, with the exception of a few lights. Most campus buildings were open, and doors were rarely locked, so we just walked right in. The first thing I noticed was a janitor with a waxing machine going up and down the hallway. Other than that, the building was lifeless and dark. We went upstairs, checked all the practice rooms. They were all dark, lights off. We went to the band hall. It was dark except for a security light. Clearly no one was practicing or even in the building except for the janitor we had just seen. We decided to go to Dustin's work, which was a nearby gas station. We exited the building and didn't see the male janitor on the way out. As we were leaving, on the last step into the parking lot, Kara grabbed my arm. When she grabbed my arm, I looked down and saw that she had goosebumps. "Did you hear that?" she said. I was about to say, "Hear what?" but then I heard it. It was a growling sound. Deep, guttural, raspy. Like something I've never heard before and never heard again to this day. It felt like it was right behind me, growling into my ear. I remember hearing a dog barking in the distance, far away, and I remember looking behind me and seeing nothing. "That," she said. "Oh my God, I heard it. What was that?" She grabbed my arm and we ran past the light pole to my car and peeled out. We've never talked about it to this day. I'm a pretty logical person. I have 2 degrees and I have lots of life experience. I heard an otherworldly sound and felt something evil behind me that night. Not only did I hear it, Kara heard it too. I didn't see it, but I felt it, and I heard it. I don't know why I didn't hear the first growl. Maybe it was behind Kara, and then went behind my ear. I have no idea. Well, shit, Amanda, I tell you what. I got a fuckload of goosebumps going up and down my arms right now. Thank you so much for submitting that. That was creepy as fuck. Jeez. Thank you again. I appreciate that. All right, next story on the table is Cassie. This is spoken in the point of view of a woman as well. Just remember that fact. Thank you very much, Cassie, for submitting this. This was a pretty good story. I like it, for sure. When my husband and I first moved in together, we started renting this house through a mutual friend. He gave us a great deal and we couldn't pass it up. We moved in February of 2012. They had purchased it as a foreclosure and it was a fixer-upper. We were the first to live in it for a few years. We lived in this house just short of 2 years. Things started slow and small. We would hear noises, mostly footsteps, doorknobs turning, tugging on clothes, mostly my husband's clothes though. Then came the opening of cabinets in the kitchen. Cabinets that were out of my reach and very hard to open. They were push-button cabinets that my son, who was 7 or 8 years old, couldn't get open sometimes. And they were up to the ceiling, probably 10 foot up. It was a super old house and had high ceilings. I would have to get a ladder out to close them, just to return to the room after putting the ladder away to see them open again. Then they started opening and slamming shut on several occasions. I eventually gave up on trying to keep them closed. Then things got scarier. My husband was working second shift, and I am a teacher, so I work first and have my summers off. This particular summer, my son had summer camp all day, so I was home alone. I was sitting in the living room reading when I heard a giant crash and commotion come from upstairs. I went up to look, thinking something fell over on its own to find my son's room a disaster, but couldn't figure out exactly what the noise was, so I picked up his room, assuming he had left it a mess, and went back to my reading. 10 minutes later, I heard it again. I ran upstairs trying to catch it, thinking there was an animal or something doing it, and his room was tore up even worse. Everything was off his bed, his clothes thrown out of his closet, toys scattered all over the floor. It freaked me the fuck out. I didn't clean it this time. and I decided to just ignore it, because I know that spirits and ghosts feed off of the energy and negative. I cleaned it up shortly before my son got home, so that he wouldn't be upset and it never happened again. The most nerve-wracking, upsetting thing that happened to me in this house and caused me to have it blessed was one night after putting my son to bed, and my husband was still at work. I had just got done doing the dishes. I was walking out of the kitchen in the doorway to the dining room, a good 5 feet from the sink and counter where the dishes were in the dish rack, when one of my glass plates shattered against the wall inches from my head. It had to have been lifted out of the rack and thrown across the room with so much effort to get it to hit as hard as it did. These were not light plates. I had a mini breakdown. I ran outside and called my mother, and then realized I had left my child alone in the house and went back in to check on him and clean up the mess. I had the house blessed, and after that we only went back to hearing the footsteps and not much else. I was so thankful to move out of that house. We did find out afterwards that the previous owner took his own life in the upstairs bedroom that my son used. My brother-in-law, who was a police officer, informed us of this. He was the first one on the scene when it happened. He was the librarian at our local library and was homosexual, which leads me to believe he was attracted to my husband because he was the one who experienced the most touching and tugging. It was a life-changing experience and has really opened me up to learning more about the paranormal. Cassie, thank you so much for that. That was a hell of a good story. Super fucking creepy. Thank you. Thank you again. I appreciate it. Just in time for Halloween. So, I hope you all enjoyed them, and I will see you folks on the flip side.